Hey everyone, welcome to Outer Banks Health, the official podcast series of the Outer Banks Hospital and Medical Group. This podcast serves up information about all things health related on the Outer Banks. We are your hosts, Denise Schnabel.
And I'm Wendy Kelly. Today we're speaking with someone who has been instrumental in creating, growing, and strengthening community partnerships. Her vivacious personality and boundless energy endears every single person she meets. There's never a dull moment when this Energizer Bunny is in the house.
It's the Outer Banks Hospital Director of Community Outreach and Development, Jennifer Schwartzenberg!
Woo-hoo!
Hey, Jen!
Hi, Wendy. Hi, Denise.
How
great
are
to
you?
See you guys today. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow. What an introduction. I feel like I should have had some coffee or something to be up to being the Energizer Bunny here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. You still sound energized. Trying very hard.
Well, what's interesting, I have to say, when I started with the hospital, I had no idea really what community outreach was. And you are the Director of Outreach and Development. What is that?
So Community Outreach and Development, we in our department will work to introduce the hospital to our community and really be the featured place for where people can come to get information about what programs and services are offered here at the hospital and our medical group. And we have the esteemed pleasure to work with this incredible community and connect that community and our community members to the hospital. So I feel like I have one of the best jobs on the Outer Banks because all day, every day, I get to talk about what we're doing here at the hospital and programs that we offer, ways that we can be innovative and really move the needle and help people in our community with their healthcare needs. And a lot of times we will work to introduce the community to different programs by taking it out on the road. We actually have a health coach that goes the entire distance of the Outer Banks, which we know is about 120 miles long. So we will look to really kind of make people familiar with what we have to offer before they have to come and utilize our services here at the hospital.
Do you go to Ocracoke, Jen?
We do go to Ocracoke.
Wow, that's
the
amazing.
Health coach has been on the ferry.
Now, as a Currituck resident, does it go to Currituck?
Yes, you know, that's a great question.
We target Dare County, but...
Yes, that's a great question. In fact, we do have some great community partners up in the Currituck area, and we will oftentimes go over for different programs and outreach over the bridge. Bridges are not meant to be barriers, but to connect us. So we go down south to Hatteras. We go up to Currituck. We've been over the bridges to the west, taking the health coach to Terrell County and Washington and Englehart. So wherever there's community need and partnership opportunities available, we will take our services out there.
Tell us, do you have any interesting stories or engagements that have occurred over the last... How many years have you been here?
How many years have you been here?
I've been with the Outer Banks Hospital for 6 years.
Six. Wow.
Wow.
I would never guess that. There must be some great stories on the health coach.
Are we talking the good stories, Wendy, or maybe some we shouldn't share?
Well, one, I know that the poor health coach would not start for a while, so.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, we can talk about that. You know, there have been some, we probably don't want to share this too much out in the community, but there have been a couple times when our team has been stranded. Yes, that's right, stranded out at community events. When we go to start the health coach.
Why are we talking about?
Well, because
we got rid of the bunk health coach and we're getting a new one.
So as you know, because you guys live here on the Outer Banks, weather can be something detrimental to vehicles here by causing rust, and rust causes vehicles not to work. So our health coach is being replaced. We have sold the other one for actually quite a nice figure to a company out west that refurbishes these types of health coaches and does whatever with them.
So old Rusty is retired. Old Rusty.
Don't wreck it, Jen.
Sorry, I'm wrecking it.
Old Rusty is gone.
Old Rusty
and
is
we're
gone.
Getting a new one. And
yes.
Are we calling it the health coach?
You know what? We are going to call it the
are
health
we?
Coach.
Nice.
You know, we have
very
a lot
nice.
Of great history with the health coach. The health coach has been in inception since 2014, providing great services up and down the beach. So to reinvent with a new name, even though it's not a 39-foot Winnebago, it is a 25-foot truck outfit with two exam rooms, some storage, and some places for folks to sit while they wait. We look forward to having that new health coach, hopefully sometime this summer, where we will be able to take our roadshow back out on the road.
So what are some of the actual events that you do? You mentioned, you know, helping out the community with community outreach. What are some specific, like the flu clinic, what are some events that you do using the health coach?
So using the health coach, you were kind of going down a great path there. So the health coach is really utilized for our community outreach events. Mm-hmm. So as we mentioned, community outreach, getting folks in touch with our hospital and what we have to offer and provide to enhance health care and move the needle for our community. So we will go out and we will do free flu vaccine clinics. We will do free wellness screens where folks that may not be plugged into care but curious about what their cholesterol, their triglyceride count, or their BMI, we're able to, just with a little finger prick, be able to tell them all sorts of great numbers and information and tell them if they need to be seen by somebody at a higher level of care at the hospital or one of our medical group practices. You know, we do basic things on the health coach, but it's a great convener and connector to our community. A lot of times folks in our community won't have a primary care physician or that access to primary care. So we are able to help plug them in. And I will say help plug them in. We cannot guarantee any of that. We don't make the appointments, but we can provide them with the resources and the information in order to get them plugged into care. Nice. So there's the flu vaccines and the well screens. Those are kind of generic things we'll do. But as part of our cancer accreditation, and we're a 3-time accredited critical access hospital, one of only 8 in the country out of 1352.
That's amazing.
Really amazing. Really amazing. I'd love to talk to you guys a little bit more about our cancer services in just a little bit. But we will oftentimes do different types of cancer screenings out on the health coach. So from FIT colon cancer screening, to skin checks.
I actually got a skin check with that. It was a great process. It was smooth and easy, and results were rather quick. It was fabulous.
Fantastic. Thank you for utilizing our health coach services. So yeah, so we'll look at different ways that we can plug into care. But then some of the other events that I do, I'm also the development director. So I handle all of the fundraising events for our hospital to raise funds to be able to provide those types of services that are seen on the health coach. So it's a nice little cyclical type of thing where, you know, the funds that we raise in development help to pay for the programs and services that we're doing in community outreach.
I'm sure there's some great stories about folks that came and utilized the services, especially the screenings, and perhaps discovered something hopefully early enough.
Absolutely.
Right?
And yes, I do laugh because when I think about the stories, sometimes the stories I think about are ones that are just kind of silly and not. But you're right. That we've had folks come on to the health coach that did receive, you know, they had no idea that they had an A1C of 7.3. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know what to do about that. So in addition to being able to provide the screenings, we have a health coach that is able to go over the results with everybody that comes on the coach and share with them ways that they can improve upon the numbers, whether it's an A1C or a high blood pressure or their cholesterol or triglycerides may be high. But again, plugging them into care to kind of take it to the next level.
Yeah, it's really a great community service.
It really is.
It really, really is. So you also mentioned that you were the development director.
Yes.
And we are in the middle of a campaign, aren't we?
We are in the middle of raising $6 million, a capital campaign. Yes, $6 million. Quite a lofty number, but I have to tell you, we've had some really great success, and really, I attribute it to this community believes in our hospital and believes in the work that we're doing, not only in cancer services, but in all of the services that we have to provide. For our cancer program is 3-time accredited with the highest level of gold standard commendations, and we're able to share that information when we meet with donors. We have incredible opportunities to raise these funds, and ultimately the goal is to build a center that connects. It'll be an extension off of our new radiation therapy center that opened in January of 2019. So it's just a couple years old, and we will be breaking ground this summer on what we call phase 2 of that project.
Tell us about the building that's there.
Yes,
now.
The building that, the one that radiation therapy?
No, the one that's going to be torn down.
Okay.
So you can put it there?
So yes. So currently we have the building that houses our Nag's Head family medicine practice and our urgent care Nag's Head. They will be getting a new building in just a couple months, moving across the street to the building formerly known as Applebee's. Sorry, my little
bougie,
Prince shout out.
Bougie-like?
What's that
bougie-like
acronym?
Bougie-like.
Building formerly known as Applebee's.
Yes. So our urgent care and family medicine Nag's Head will be moving to that location, freeing up the building that the Outer Banks Hospital purchased last summer from Dr. White, an incredibly generous man. We had first right of refusal to purchase that building and that land. We did so. And so probably early spring, late spring, you'll see that building come down. You'll see the parking lot in the back constructed so that we have space for our radiation therapy center team members, as well as the construction team, to park while they are working on what will be that extension to the radiation therapy center. This is going to be an incredible opportunity, you guys. This is going to take our cancer services to another level, in that all of our cancer services will be located under one roof. Right now, cancer patients, their caregivers, and the team need to travel between three or four different spaces while they're all kind of contained. Right. Three of them are contained inside the medical office building. One is across the street. But this is going to put everybody all together where they can collaborate on patient treatment care plans. Patients will no longer have to go downstairs for lab, upstairs to see the provider, back downstairs to get their chemo infusion. I mean, it is
going to be amazing. And in Dare County, like, that's just phenomenal. Great work with that.
Thank you. We have a little over $5 million raised.
$5 million.
They say in these types of campaigns, the last million is the toughest to raise. I'm not so sure. We've got a couple things out on the line right now. So
let's do a plug. How can someone donate? Let's do a plug now.
Somebody can donate to the Cancer Center, or at least learn more, by calling me, Jennifer Schwarzenberg, at 252-449-5933. You could also visit our website to get some information. Basically, we have a Cancer Center cabinet made up and comprised of some really incredible hospital volunteers and donors themselves. And we get together with folks that are interested in giving to the Cancer Center and talking with them. Wendy Kelly right here has created the most beautiful brochure I've seen in cancer services. It tells our story. The graphics are beautiful and inviting, and it's really a piece that we are able to dive right in with our potential donors and captivates them and gets their interest. And then we just kind of tell the story. We tell the story of why we're doing this, for our community, and really why we've done so much of the different growth and innovation over the hospital's 20-year history.
Speaking of that, you want to talk about the 20-year, Wendy, and ask Jen some of the things she's seen in her 6 years of the 20 years.
Well, I was going to ask her, what experience did you have prior to coming to the hospital 6 years ago that led you to do this work?
Well, I had just graduated from high school. No, I'm just kidding. I am not 24 years old. I wish I was. I am not. So I have had a variety of different jobs and opportunities that have been really exciting that have led me here. I had not worked in healthcare prior to working at the Outer Banks Hospital, but I started my career working for the New York Rangers hockey team at Madison Square Garden, right
that
in the heart of New York City. Yes, yes. It was amazing. But I worked there for the probably the worst 7 years in franchise history. But what can you do? By us being out of the playoffs for seven consecutive years, that just allowed me to do my job a little bit more, which was working with the players in community outreach. So just like here, I like to introduce our community to what we're doing at the hospital. That's what I did for the Rangers. And I would take players out into the community. We would go out to schools in the Bronx and Brooklyn and Westchester and Long Island, New Jersey, and read to kids and do hockey clinics. And also, you know, we partnered with several nonprofit organizations that worked with underserved populations. And so we would always do toy drives and raise funds and have players out at these different events. So I did that for about 7 years and then moved to Nashville, Tennessee, where for the entire time I was there, also 7 years, I worked for a community foundation, the Community Foundation of Middle Tennessee, an incredible organization that connects generosity with need. That's where I really got a lot of my donor experience, working with donors, listening to donors, seeing what they're passionate about, how do they want their legacy to be, and what difference do they want to make? Who do they want to connect with? And I had the great fortune to work with a lot of arts organizations and nonprofits to help them tell their stories. I basically oversaw all of the online initiatives, something called Giving Matters, where over 1,000 nonprofits were put on equal footing. You know, a lot of times smaller nonprofits don't have a budget to build a website or to have somebody dedicated to social media to help share their story. And those types of things are so important, especially in this day and age when the digital world and everything is online. So I helped to make sure that all of these nonprofits had profiles that could share their story, and they were free and any nonprofit could have them. And a lot of times when nonprofits were applying for grants, they would need a place to house their 990s or their N990s and their board lists and their tax documents so that funders would utilize this program, Giving Matters, to find out about nonprofits that they may never have heard of. So then you're connecting these funders with nonprofits that ordinarily may not even have a presence to be able to apply for a big grant that could really move the needle for that organization.
That's great. So,
thank you. Did that. And then came here. I've been coming to the Outer Banks since 1989. And my parents had relocated here from New York the day after they retired. And we were living in Nashville, and I've got a cute little kid that as soon as she wasn't free to fly on Southwest anymore, and all of a sudden it was costing about $1,500 for us to get here. I'm being honest, y'all. It's expensive to fly home for a weekend at $1,500 a pop for the three of us to fly.
So you were here before the hospital was built. You were coming here
before.
We're about to celebrate our 20th anniversary, as Denise mentioned, and I know you're doing some work with the community on that. And
yes. I'm excited that we are going to serve as the Grand Marshal for the famed Kelly's St. Patrick's Day Parade. I believe it's the 31st annual. So Mike Kelly, who used to own some restaurants down here and is a great community leader and very philanthropic in his ways and cares very much about this community, he does the Kelly's Parade every year. And we have the opportunity, we're building a float. We'll have all of our team members are invited to come out and walk in the parade and just be a part of a very fun and festive day. And this will be the first parade in 2 years. So I fully expect that, you know, the attendance will be great.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Folks will want to be here.
So when you were visiting on the weekends before the hospital was built, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did
we would
you
come
guys
down and
have
rent a
any
house.
Cognizance about there was no hospital or we're getting a hospital? Did you feel any excitement or... Like,
absolutely.
What was happening? Do you remember?
Absolutely. I distinctly remember, he was probably about 6 years old. So it was probably one of those first or second summers that we were down here. My younger brother fell in our rental house and needed to get stitches. And my parents got him in the car, crying, screaming, blood gushing from his head. And they had to make that hour-long trip up to Chesapeake for Jonathan to get the stitches. Yeah, so we knew that there was not healthcare here, but yet we chose to come on vacation here. Well, and, you know, but that was then, and this is now, and, you know, times were maybe different back then.
Yeah,
and maybe parents, not my parents, but maybe parents weren't as responsible. I don't know.
They just told you to rub some dirt on it.
Put
a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah. I'm from the South Shore of Long Island. I grew up about 10 minutes from the beach, but yet those beaches, you don't, unless you go out to the Hamptons and whatnot, you know, you don't rent houses at the beach there. If you want to rent a beach house, you got to go to the Jersey Shore,
go
out, to the Hamptons. Or, you know, so we started coming down here because, well, you know, Long Beach was a great beach and was fine for you know, everyday type of thing, you know, to really get away from the grind and from the, you know, from home and enjoy that kind of beach vacation experience. My parents chose to come here. My mom and dad always knew that they wanted to move here. here. Nice. And they live here. My in-laws moved down here a couple of years ago, also from New York. So it's really nice to have everybody close by. My brother's about 5 hours away. So there's a lot of health care between where he is and here.
Right,
the event he needs to get any additional stitches anytime soon. But I'm trying to remember if we knew that the hospital, I knew that they had opened a hospital here. The first year it would have been open. I was down here in 2002. We took one summer off, and all those years of coming here and now living here, the one summer I didn't come was the summer that Jeff and I got married, 2003. We had four other weddings we were in. We were also contributing towards our wedding. So everybody kind of just took a break from vacation, and every cent went into that party that we had on Labor Day weekend of 2003. So it's certainly, though, after my parents moved here, I didn't move here till 2014, but my parents moved here in 2009, and they were very quick to connect with our healthcare system. And my dad, since he was in his late 30s, had heart issues and cholesterol, triglyceride, high levels. So it was very important for him to be able to plug into care.
Absolutely, yeah.
And my mom, she has MS. Oh. So she has to, and a thyroid issue. So she has to always kind of be plugged into care and regular appointments and whatnot. So,
that's great.
You know, they felt comfortable moving from, you know, right outside of Manhattan down here. So,
well, the hospital had to be part of that.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
All right.
Well, Jen Schwarzenberg, is there anything else you want to add to this inaugural podcast out of the WLK studios?
Other than the cancer center, let me ask one last question.
Yes.
Is there anything else you'd like, if you had a vision and you could have anything you wanted healthcare related, hospital related, what would you like to see in the Outer Banks other than the cancer center, of course?
Well, yeah, the cancer center is obviously my focus and priority right now. I think a dedicated wellness center or place for kids and families to kind of gather.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter doesn't play travel soccer. We have a lot of friends whose kids play travel soccer, and they have to go up to Virginia Beach every weekend, multiple times a weekend sometimes. Mm. And, you know, it would be great. This community is, I think, for the most part, most people are plugged into their health and want to be healthy and want to learn about how to live a healthy lifestyle and what does that mean and what are some avenues to explore that. So I think it would be pretty incredible if the Outer Banks Hospital and Medical Group were able to provide some sort of outlet, maybe in joint partnership with the county, to find a space, a dedicated space for a wellness center. We have gyms and things like that, but, you know, to kind of maybe take it to the next level where there's classes. You know, we have a wonderful resource in the Center for Healthy Living, and we've been able to do a lot of great, you know, innovative things in that center, and our outpatient rehab.
Olympic-sized swimming pool here.
Absolutely.
Bring USA Swimming down in the off-season.
Yeah.
County could benefit from that.
Yeah.
Maybe they could freeze it in the winter. We could have some ice skating.
Hockey leagues.
The hockey person in me really would love to see some ice skating here. But I think
that's
it goes along
idea.
With that, just to kind of keep with the health and wellness of our citizens.
I like it. All right. Well, we really appreciate you joining us today on our first podcast.
Thank you.
Being our guest.
Anything else you want to share with us before we let you go?
No, I just want to thank you for what you're doing and for finding ways to take things to the next level and marketing our great hospital. And again, you know, something like this, a podcast, all the social media, the website, you know, that really helps to make my job easier because it's another outlet for me to share when we're out doing our community outreach. So really just hats off to both of you and to the team that's producing this. Thank you so much for having me today. I know I have a lot of words, and I hope to be invited back. Thanks so much.
Thanks Jen.